You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. You can help get the Henday built.
Dola, TG, how you doing?
Good afternoon, Jason. Doing fantastic. Looking forward to the weekend. Looking forward to football tonight. And we've got hockey starting tomorrow. I know it's the rookies, but this is it, Gregs. We're into it now. We've been back to the rink. We had our media golf tournament, which we joked about the other day. We're back, baby, and I'm ready to rock.
Should be good. The Oilers, Spec had it earlier, Vertanen's going to choose somewhere else to go. It sounds like Jason Demers could be coming in on a PTO, which is interesting because if you go back to the summer of 2016, the Oilers could have re-signed Taylor Hall and just signed Demers as a free agent, and then there wouldn't have been the Lucic trade. Now, they probably wouldn't, then they wouldn't have Larson either in that trade, so it would have been Demers and Hall over Lucic and Larson, right? 6 years later, it might go full circle with Jason Demers, at least in the preseason, wearing an Oilers uniform.
Yeah, interesting. And the Vertanen stuff, you know, we talked about a little bit yesterday. Calgary, I heard, would be interested in him, and obviously there's a connection to Calgary. You know, we speculate about it because it's a name that intrigues people. It's a player that enticed the Vancouver Canucks fan base for a while, and it just never really took off there, but maybe for the better here. And so it sounds like we'll be able to move on from discussing him. And like you said, Demers potentially coming in, looks like he's on his way in. And then the other one of note, I think DNB put it out there, but Brett Ritchie perhaps coming on a PTO as well. And Gregs, I know you brought up the toughness yesterday, and Richie certainly has a lot of that. So the big question for these guys, though, is how do you make them fit? And you alluded to the trade that'll likely have to happen.
Yep. Has to happen. Like there's, it's not, there's really no way around it. Trade needs to occur here for sure for the Edmonton owners. It's just a matter of when that trade potentially could go down, because I think it has to go down. A few things to get to. I guess I want to start. We didn't really touch on this yesterday, but my goodness, like when we want to talk about, you know, be a good human being, this alleged welfare scheme going on in Mississippi is absolutely horrific. One of it involves, you know, Brett Favre. Now, Brett Favre was $5 million. Basically, they were taken from the poorest people in Mississippi. The poorest of the poor. That's, you're a $100 million player, and then even one of your techs, hey, will the media find out where the money came from? So you know it's wrong, because that's why you asked the question. Your moral standards are so low that you're like, yeah, you know what, we need a volleyball court instead of the poorest of the poor people just having basic necessities. Like, you know what, man, like Brett Favre might have been a great quarterback, but man, like, I can't think of a douchier thing to do.
Awful. And you know, these texts that are being revealed are pretty alarming and revealing, obviously. And Brett Favre is a millionaire upon millions and millions and millions over the course of his illustrious career. Great football player. We can give him those accolades. But we saw the situation with Jackson, Mississippi, the state's capital, and the water situation, if you didn't see it. They're in like a boil water advisory. The water was basically toxic, and the federal government gave them like $77 million, I believe, Gregs, in welfare funds. Mississippi is the poorest, if not one of the poorest states in the U.S., and the government allocated money that was supposed to be for welfare to help, you know, on people that were less fortunate, and they mishandled it. And so what happened was Southern Mississippi, University of Southern Mississippi, was looking for a new volleyball facility. Brett Favre's daughter plays on the volleyball team. And so they went to the state government, and the government said, we'll find you the money. And what they did was diverted the money, $5 million. First it was $4 million. And then Favre offered to do, I think it was some radio ads, and that was to the tune of $1.1 million. So just over $5 million to spend on a beautiful new volleyball facility for the University of Southern Mississippi. And yes, Brett Favre was involved. He did pay back the $1.1 million, But Greg's, they've already had someone go to jail for this, plead guilty on it, and it's bad. It's really, really bad, and it's just, it's one of those, Nancy New is her name. She was the one allocating the money.
Nancy New. Oh, yeah, she knew it was wrong, yet she still did it. Yeah. What a joke. So,
brilliant. And the governor was in on it, too. He said, hey, can you take care of Brett Favre? It's so bad, and this is one of those ugly stories where it's the rich taking more and the poor not getting what they needed to just survive basic necessities.
Yeah, like how greedy can you be? Don't be so damn self-centered. A few things, because I know, you know, we always like to discuss the fashion trends on and off the ice and court. The KC Chiefs tonight, when you watch the game, their end zones tonight are going to be painted the exact same way as they looked 50 years ago when Arrowhead opened in 1972. Like the lettering, the logos, everything. Like, retro is always cool. People love it. I think people are going to love tuning in just to see how different it is now, right? Like, retro is cool for a lot of people, right? Because everything that's, it was cool then, now it comes back. The people who, you know, you're reliving your youth at 20, and the younger people are like, oh, I've never seen that before. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, this is really neat, especially it's what we were talking, Connor and I off the air, Amazon Prime's first game, and obviously it's going to be on Standard TV too, but the stadium's 50 years old and they're celebrating by putting the exact same end zone logos. They got the Arrowhead Stadium original logo from 50 years ago, smack dab in the middle, and you're right, retro is, I don't know if retro ever goes out of style unless it's so bad, but I like when teams do things like this and a little nod to the past. And there's actually a comparison, if you haven't seen it, of the first opening game at Arrowhead Stadium and how they have it painted up today. It's what's interesting, too, because that was the AFL back then, is the goalposts were at the front of the end zone, much like the CFL back in those days. And then obviously now in the NFL and American football, the end zones are at the back of the end zone, or the flags are, goalposts, pardon me, are at the back of the end zone. But otherwise, they basically nailed it to make it look like 1972. And to me, that's all good. I like when teams do that. And, you know, talking about looks and stuff like that, San Jose Sharks unveiled their new uniforms, which I think look slick. But by all accounts, they have a reverse retro, Greg's, that's supposed to be a throwback to the Oakland / California Golden Seals too. So you want to talk about the 70s and the throwback, it's happening in more than just one league.
And one of the greats announced that he is retiring. Roger Federer, in no surprise, he was one of the classiest athletes around, and he comes out with you know, like a retirement letter, and next week in London will be his final ATP event. He'll play more tennis in the future, but just not in Grand Slams or on the tour, so it'll be the last time. You know, obviously, he had a remarkable career. He's one of the greatest tennis players of all time. And you know what? Serena Williams, now Roger Federer. You know, you wonder how many more years Nadal has left and stuff. We're starting to see the change in the guard because, man, for a long time, if you were a tennis fan for the last two decades, you were spoiled with some of the greatest tennis players of all time.
Amazing. And a classy way to make the announcement. It's, you know, a picture of him smiling, and then it's the audio that he read out this letter. And very appreciative of what he was able to accomplish, where he got to go with his career, what he was able to achieve and experience during his career. So by all accounts, Gregor, like, this is a really, really nice guy. Like, just obviously a tremendous athlete, one of the best of all time, but a good human being too, and a friend of mine, out of the Spruce Grove, Stony Plain area, Grant Canton, who's over at Cougar Creek nowadays, used to be the head groundskeeper at Wimbledon, and he got to know Federer quite well, and he said he is a great man, and he even showed me a video that Federer sent to Grant's mom for her birthday, just one day while they were together, and you know what? It's those little things when you get that little peek behind the curtain, and you find out that, you know, someone who's so revered and so nice, or so good and so well respected for what they accomplish on a tennis court, is actually just a nice human being as well. That's the double whammy. So a hat tip to Roger Federer, and I know a lot of people and millions of eyes will be on the upcoming event, and then he'll be able to go off in style. And you know what? He said it, 41 years old, the body's not responding the way it used to, and that was his body telling him it's time to call it a career, and what a great one it was.
Yeah, no question about it. Now, switching to teal on teal. Have you seen the Sharks' new unis, Matt? Now, granted, I'm a fan of teal automatically, so I'm probably biased in this, and I get that it's a lot of teal, but I have to say, I kind of like it.
Yeah, you're biased with the Sharks in more reasons than one. I'm kidding. But totally understandable. The teal on teal, I think the away uniform actually looks really good. It pops with the teal pants.
Oh, buddy, it's great. The teal pants are, like, seriously, those pants, it's unreal, right? Like, if I had one complaint, maybe the armband around the elbow, mm-hmm. I'm not the hugest fan of. Kind of looks like you're wearing socks on your arms, right? Because they're socked basically the same. But just like the full teal, man, like.
It's bold.
I love it. But again, I also love the Kings and Vegas's silver and gold helmets. Like those. Now, every game, maybe not. But a few times a year, I'm all for it.
The home Sharks teal on teal, like it's overpowering teal, but the more I looked at it, the more I could appreciate it. And you know, we see it in football too, Greg's, like the Thursday night color rush we saw for years where it was just all one color for teams. Sometimes it works, and the Sharks own teal in the National Hockey League. Another thing that's good is they minimized the orange. They added striping again, because I know they took out the bottom stripe in their old uniforms. And then I thought, oh, they could use black pants and black helmets and gloves again like they had been since their inception back in, 91? But at the same time, it's almost like the Colorado Avalanche, who went from black pants and gloves to the blue, and it looks more cohesive. And then, so as I looked at the Sharks jersey with the reveal yesterday, especially that home one, I was like, you know what? I think that this is going to be just fine, especially with the abundance of teal on the home jersey and then the away jersey. I think it really pops with the white jersey and the teal pants.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of it. I like it a lot. A quick fun one for you, one question. We're going to have Dylan Holloway on the show at 5 o'clock. We know that Dylan Holloway is going to be on the opening day roster.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he is a regular this season in the NHL, or is he splitting time AHL-NHL?
I think he will be a regular by the midway point of the season, and I'm not taking anything away from him. This is a good prospect, and he's going to have a really good camp, put up some points in the preseason to earn a spot, but it's going to be a logjam already. And I think it's okay if he goes down to Bakersfield and has a really strong first half of the season, and then at some point, maybe they give him the tap and say, we need you in Edmonton, and he can come into the season midway through with confidence. So I think he'll be on the team and a regular, but I think it'll be around Christmas, maybe just after, but not right out of the gate. But like you said, they have to play a little bit of cap gymnastics to have him and his bonus not affect things in a negative way. So he'll be a regular. It's just a matter of time. My best guess, midway through the season, Greg's.
Talk to you tomorrow, Tommy. Have a good one. Enjoy the game tonight.
Will do, sir. See you tomorrow.